At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the form that they have faith in you. You should have been pulled in the fit that they had faith in you. And you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's here. Thanks for joining us. It's one of our first live streams. In fact, of 2025, this might be our first live stream of the year. We got the Fantasy Baseball Beat Boys here. Davey Funnel, Mike Carter, and Mr. Torres himself. These people know a thing or two about a thing or two. And, of course, Britton Allen, Mike Virginia. So there's a lot of voices, a lot of faces. Get used to it. Deal with it. Accept it. Move forward. We'll go around the room, Hollywood Squares style, and we'll see if we agree or disagree on various fantasy baseball topics for the 2025 season. We'll talk about what the offseason did, the impact of that, and a host of other stuff. But let's start from the top. Mr. Torres himself is here. He likes the Yankees. He loves Brett Gardner. He hates Aaron Boone. You're one of the hosts of the Fantasy Baseball Beat. What's up, brother?
What's going on, man? I'm going to be honest with you. I appreciate you inviting me on the show, but I'm feeling a little uncomfortable right now and not sure if I want to go through with it. I'm going to tell you why. Britton and I are in a 50-round. Why are you laughing? It's not funny. Britton
I feel
and
the I same way. I'm totally uncomfortable right now. I love it.
Yeah. So you and I, Britton, we're in that draft and hold league that we started in Arizona at first pitch. We're now entering the final round, and I'm a little concerned that something that I say or that I do during this podcast is going to give him a hint at who I'm taking with my 50th round pick.
100% true. We are enemies.
Yeah. We are mortal enemies right now.
We are mortal enemies, Torres. You're a wonderful, nice guy. I met you out in Arizona. That's fine.
Yeah. But no, I mean, because this is the key.
Mono y mono.
Yeah, I can't give this away.
I must beat you in the Arizona Fall League Draft Champions League, where you picked first, and in true diva fashion, came to the draft late, showing up. I believe there were, I don't know where you got these children. They had rosebuds, and they were passing it before you would walk to your seat. It was really strange. I thought we were in Turkey for a second. I didn't know what was going on. But
I am a diva. Yes.
But you did arrive, and then I forget. Did you pick Ohtani or did you pick Bobby Witt?
I went with Ohtani in that one.
There you go. And so pretty much you don't need it to talk about any other picks than that. It's like he's going to go 50-50. It's all good.
Yeah, and he's going to be an ace pitcher. So we'll see.
Really?
But wow. Yeah, listen.
That's a lot.
No, but thank you. I'm obviously just playing around. Mike, thank you so much for inviting us on the show. Really excited to be here.
It's all Mike Virginia. Mike Virginia made this happen. How'd you do it, Mike?
I follow these guys all on Twitter and have been for quite some time now. So big fan of all three of these guys. So very, very happy to have them on the show today, as well as being back with my fellow Palazzo boys. For fantasy baseball again. Govier said it best. We do fantasy football, but this is and always will be a fantasy baseball show. That's what the Palazzo Podcast is, and super excited to be talking baseball with you guys today.
Woo! All right, so we got the other two guys for the Fantasy Baseball Beat. We got Davey Funnel here. Dave, my old pal, you're the injury guru. You're doing work everywhere. Everybody relies on you, I think, more than they ever have when it comes to injury stuff in fantasy baseball. So kudos, man. You've really cornered the market. I'm really proud of you. I'm happy for you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that, and I'm happy to be here. And I'm feeling very comfortable. Let's just throw that out there.
Hey, yes, you are, you beautiful bald bastard. Mike Carter, my man, my old pal. You can find him with a cold one in Arizona. You can find him with a cold one in Chicago. You can find him telling you how incredible his son is at baseball. He knows everything there is to know about closers. There's so much that encompassed Mike Carter. We can't even get to all of it. He also has great musical taste as well. Mikey, what's up, brother?
I'm very good, Michael Govier. How are you, my friend?
You know, busy, 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 just like you. You know, the job is stressful, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And it just makes doing this show that much better when we get to do it.
Absolutely. Totally de-stressed on a Friday night. Let's go for it.
Woo-hoo! All right. And, of course, Britton, my main man. Britton, you were on last month with Sarah Sanchez. You kind of covered some of the impact of the offseason with the moves. I think the Kyle Tucker trade was very fresh. And Sarah Sanchez, for those that don't know, huge Cubs fan, loves baseball, knows baseball inside and out, but she's a diehard Cubby. So you guys covered the impact of that trade, plus a bunch of other stuff. So where are we now?
We got all kinds of stuff going on with trades and everything Dodgers, of course. So all kinds of interesting landing spots for everybody. But I remember talking to Sarah, and one of her main sleepers was a catcher, Moises Ballesteros from Venezuela. So not to jump the gun or anything on our sleeper hitters, but Cubs prospect, Moises Ballesteros. That one was for you, Sarah. Shut up.
When you say that, Moises Ballesteros makes me think of Bailamos, let the rhythm take you over, Bailamos, Ballesteros. That's what I think of.
Yeah, my Venezuelan accent needs some work, no doubt about that. But, you know, I barely speak English, though, so, you know.
Come on. Dude, your name's Britton. Great Britton. They invented English, didn't they?
I asked
for that. We got the live chat brewing here. Everybody's in the live chat. Jump in. Say hello. Brian's here. His name is Mo Baller. Okay. Thank you for the update on that. And Cubby Knowles here. He says, smorgasbord of handsome.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We are... We're quite attractive. What can I say? Everyone here is very sexy. Tim says, we need more of that Southern Dinger Dynasty ranks. Perfect blend of humor and knowledge. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. If you missed that, we started doing our Dynasty rankings by position. Britton was on in a rare reunion show. Britton, you did the reunion with the Dingers crew. Robbie Baseball and Ty came on to talk catchers of all things, which...
Their
not
favorite.
Robbie's favorite topic. Yeah, Robbie doesn't love catchers, but he was there to do it, which was kind of funny that it was him on the show.
Oh, it was special because I was a big fan. Have y'all heard of Dingers? That podcast. It's these two Canadian dudes, which kind of reminds me of the movie Strange Brew. You know, where you put the mouse in the beer, and then they try to go get free beer for the rest of their lives, and they go, hey. Hey, I found a mouse in my beer, eh? Named yeah. Thomas and Rick Moranis or whatever. Anyway, so yeah, it was really fun. It was hanging out and talking catchers of all things with those two Canadian dudes was a lot of fun.
Fine, upstanding Americans. Mike, we haven't done a show together baseball-wise in a while, so it's great to be back with you on the air live as we do it every show we possibly can during the regular season and during draft prep season. So where are we today? We got anything good brewing, Mikey?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing my must-haves and fades article. I thought I was on mute there for a second. Sorry. So that'll be coming up here soon and will be available for as we get into the draft season, probably about a couple weeks away as we get into February. That'll be available to the Patreon folks. So make sure you guys subscribe to that as well. Get in the Discord. You guys know the deal, but I'll be releasing that as well. Last year was very popular. Guys, little hot take here because we haven't done the Own It show yet. What we got right and what we got wrong. One of my least popular takes last year was to fade Aaron Judge in round one. That was my guy that I was avoiding, and boy was
don't
I wrong
be that guy.
Oh, I was that guy. I was that guy. The toe had me worried, and I think Aaron Judge watched our show and said, "Take that." So, yeah, that was a good call by me.
What about the jersey dealio? What's the story there?
Yeah, so if you guys head over to my Twitter page here at Palazzo Fest, and I need to update this. I'm going to be announcing one lucky winner to win a MLB jersey of your choosing from yours truly, Mike Virginia. You can pick anyone you want. I don't care. Kudos. You get two of them if you get an Orioles jersey. I'll buy you two of them.
Wow.
All you have to do is like and subscribe to the Palazzo Podcast YouTube channel, retweet the tweet and like it, and you're automatically entered. And we'll do it live, folks. A little spin wheel on Bozo Fest, and we'll pick the winner live.
And if you pick the jerseys of Cade Povich and Chase McDermott, you get half off. It's awesome.
That's right.
I want a Miguel Vargas jersey.
I want an Eloy Jimenez jersey. What's the AAA affiliate for Baltimore?
Eloy Jimenez is actually with the Rays now.
No, he's not.
Tampa Bay.
Oh,
yes, he is.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Right. Minor league contract.
Now watch. He'll probably hit 50 home runs for them and stay healthy and play 162 games.
Oh, you know he's getting called up. He's going to hit that 30-day escalator, get that major league contract. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look. We got a lot to cover today here. We're going to dive right into it. Let's cut the crap. We got our guests here, so we want to make sure that they get their time, get their run. Anybody got questions you want to ask directly? You want to ask it to Mr. Carter, Mr. Torres, Mr. Funnel? Go right to this live chat. Write it down. Type it out. Proofread it. And then send it. And then we'll try to answer as best we can here. Just like Yoandi saying, I'm back. Baseball's great. The Palazzo Podcast is marvelous. That's right. And, Big Ben's up. Big Ben's one of our Palazzo staples. Watch Ronzi now get 10 wins for the Yankees, including one in September over the Orioles. Torres, Ronzi get 10 wins for the Yankees?
I think it's more likely he gets DFA'd for the fourth time this offseason by the weekend. What's going on with that guy? Like, how do you get signed and then DFA'd like a few days later in January? Like,
he's not any good. Yeah, he's no good.
Right, but there's nothing happening. There's no game. Like, what is? I don't get it. Yeah, why not? 10 wins for Renzi Contreras. Maybe that's the key. Maybe that's what they need to get over the hump.
Yeah, okay. Look, he's a guy who seems like a lot of fun. He might give you a moment. He might be a fab hot pickup for a week, but easy come, easy go, Ronzi. That's how I see him, right? We all know the truth. Dave, right off the top here, you're the injury guru. Coming into 2025 right now, is there a player that stands out to you whose injuries are most pressing in terms of could be injured and will really hurt his fantasy value, or could be healthy? I mean, like, Spencer Strider is a name. Like, how much will we actually get out of him once he's ready to go? Like, who is most the biggest injury question, I guess, and who could really take off or be hurt the most by their injury situation that we know of right now?
How long do we have?
You got 2 hours. Go ahead. Next 2 hours are yours.
No, I mean, well, you mentioned Spencer Strider. I think he's going to miss at least a month of the season, but he's going to come in and he's going to be throwing. He's having a normal off season, and he's going to be throwing to batters throughout spring. But I don't think he'll be ready by opening day. I think he's going to miss at least a month. But the one injury that so many questions for me is. Honestly, it's right at the 101. It's Ohtani. I am very scared of him this year. I don't know how he's going to recover from his second Tommy John. I don't know how he's going to recover from his off-season surgery. And there's so many questions right now about, like, they're going to go to a six-man rotation, I think, to help preserve him and other pitchers. So his pitching value is going to be down, but chances are you drafted him to be a hitter. But with all those injuries and everything, the only thing to counter that is that it's Shohei Ohtani. So if anyone can do it, it's going to be him. But for me, I find it hard right now to be taking him, especially where he is. So he's my biggest question right there. Very first player.
Interesting. What about Kyle Tucker Shin? Did that ever recover, or has he still got a broken leg? Or
I mean, the team might say he's fine, but no, he's going to be okay. I'm taking him wherever I can. I think he's a five category stud, but you know,
it's always important to remember that Dave is a thief of joy. So always remember that. He's like the most mild-mannered, nicest guy you'd ever want to meet, but when it comes to this injury stuff, and he's like, oh, Otani, F him. Forget it. We're done. Well, let's move on.
Like,
Thief of joy, Dave Funnel.
If you're just looking at that stuff all the time, I think you're going to develop like a higher, you know, like a hypervigilance towards anything injury-related. So you're going to probably weigh that, you know, more than the average player. So. But yeah,
I'm on eggshells all the time.
Yeah.
Who's next? Who am I going to write about next? How depressed am I going to be tonight? Wow, what a way to live. Man.
Speaking of the Braves and Spencer Strider, I saw today, too, Acuna looks like he's not going to be back until May at least, which kind of waters down his value. I know it's not a Braves podcast, but I'm interested to know where you guys feel comfortable drafting a guy like Ronald Acuna. Obviously, first round talent, but noting that you're going to be without him for, you know, a good couple months until he's back, and they'll probably be careful with him when he comes back as well. How are you guys approaching Acuna, and how are you guys drafting him in upcoming drafts? Are you staying away? Are you taking him? Or
I'm going to have zero Acuna. I don't. I mean, right now his ADP is sitting in the third round. There's so many things, so many other areas you could go. Usually I'm looking at a pitcher there because I feel like you can get a good SP1. You know, you could get Corbin Burns, Chris Sale, Snell, Kirby, like all those guys. I'm not passing up a true ace to take an outfielder that I just don't know what to expect. Like I already know I'm missing a month, right, at minimum. Mm-hmm. We don't know if there's going to be setbacks. We don't know if there's going to be, you know, compensatory injuries when he comes back. Is he going to run? Like, I don't need to take that risk in the third round because I don't see this amazing ceiling outcome that's going to beat me, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm out.
Britton, what say you, my man? What are you doing with Ronald Acuna? I know you're an Acuna guy.
My favorite, you mean my favorite baseball player in Major League Baseball? But I love you, Ronald. I love you, Ozzy. I love the Atlanta Braves. Do not draft Ronald Acuna. Do not draft Ronald Acuna. Especially in a DC, obviously. Draft and hold anything. Do not draft Ronald Acuna. Now, if it's in your 10-team redraft, do whatever, man. It's all good. And you want to get Acuna, that's fine. But, no, I'm staying away. I'm not going to have Ronald Acuna on any team whatsoever with the injuries, the knees. I love him. He's great, but he's injured. Going into the year injured, danger, Will Robinson. No thanks. There are too many other good players you got to go for right there. That's how I feel about it. But then I was also worried about Shohei Ohtani's gambling scandal last year, too.
So, I don't know. As was I. So maybe we're too risk averse. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. You can't be too risk averse. Maybe in May 20th, he's back and he goes 40-40. That's 100% true. But I'm kind of like Torres. I'm like, are you going to bet on that? Like, you know, I like to bet 0-0, you know, on the roulette table. That's my favorite. I split 0-0, the green, not the red, not the black. I like to split it, you know, and then everybody's like, oh, no, zero. Who bet zero? I'm like, I'll tell you who bet zero. I like the zero.
Double zero.
Zero and double That's zero the because the house wins in the end. Right. If you find a roulette table without a double zero, you're like in Morocco or something, you know, and you've got other things to worry about other than that 0-0. But anyway, so I'm off on Acuna.
But what about an overall, Bryn? Listen, Jason says, I'd take him one that has an overall just in case.
I think that's absolutely what you do. Like, if you want to win, number one, the grand prize, you take Okuna, you take Ronald Acuna because you're going to get him. You take DeGrom, you take Sandy Alcantara, you take all those injured bounce back players. And if they go anything, you know, repeat to form, you're going to get that money. But again, man, you can also buy a 1,000 scratch off lucky seven tickets. And at the end of your 1,000 lucky scratch off tickets, you got like, go get another lucky scratch off ticket. And you're like, well, that was a big waste of my time. And my finger hurts because this little dime doesn't scratch these suckers off right. And now I'm all angry. Good job. And where do you get dimes anyway? I don't know. At the bottom of your old beat up car.
Mike Carter, what about you, my friend?
I follow what these guys say a lot, and I think with Acuna, it's a really scary proposition for me. The headline I saw today was Acuna to miss a month or so. It's like the kiss of death, right? Like. Yeah. You know, you say a month or so, and I've learned from being friends with Dave that a month or so could mean 3 months. You just have no idea what it means. Having had two torn ACLs now, what does that do for his stolen bases? What does that do for he's not a – I know that I'll probably get lambasted for saying this, but he's not what I consider to be a power guy. Right, he's not a 40 home run guy, despite the fact that he's done that. That was a bit of a mirage, right? So, what are you really expecting then? So, you're going to take him in the third round, and you're going to get a guy that's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, probably at the very least, and maybe gets 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases. Like, that's not bad, but I can get that later, right? So, I'm going to take a different tactic, I think, in round three.
Okay. Mr. Govier, what about you, my friend? Acuna, in or out?
Well, I'll take him. I'll just do it. But I want to go in a different direction here because I thought of something when we were just talking about injuries and guys I'm thinking about. Shane McClanahan is a guy who was a really good pitcher, and now he's coming back from injury. Because when Britton said Sandy Alcantara, one of my favorite players ever, I was thinking about him and McClanahan. And both these guys coming back from injury. I don't have any doubts about Sandy. I just don't. He's a horse. Everybody tears their elbow, it seems, somewhere down the line. So he did it. Moving on. But with McClanahan, there seems to be some more concern about how healthy he can be. So I'm curious from our fantasy baseball beat pals here, Mike, what they think about McClanahan, if anything. I'm going to start with Dave right off the bat, though, Dave. I need to know what you think at this point, because there's also some keeper questions. And somebody had a question about a keeper I'd like to go back to here in a moment after this. That's your cue, Dave. Channel 7 Action News goes live to Dave Funnel.
Right.
Okay, hey, baby. Let's go, baby. Question?
That's my bad.
Go.
I heard of that after this. I didn't know if we were stopping.
You're right. I'm a dick. I'm a total dick. I failed it. I'm fired. Damn!
Of the two, if I were to pick one, I would probably take Shane McClanahan.
Oh.
Of the two, yeah. I'm not high on either of them, though. I know there was talk of McClanahan's innings being capped around 130, I believe. And I just read the other day in the Marlins beat letter that there's talk of lowering Alcantara's innings as well. They didn't give a number, though. But they both had a pretty smooth transition last year. Alcantara, he was throwing live BP by the end of the year and no setbacks at all. McClanahan, he was throwing 95-96, I think, by late September. So if I had to pick one of the two, it would be Shane McClanahan, but of either, I just try and steer away from these guys coming back from this kind of injury just because you don't know how the command and the control is going to be, and it might take a while to get the velo back up. And around that area, I can just look for something else.
Torres, what do you think on this one? Either or neither?
For me, it's neither. Let me start with Sandy. And Sandy's going a little later. He's going around pick 150 in NFBC. Let me ask you guys a question. Why did we like why was Sandy Alcantara a guy that we were drafting? Like, what was his standout skill before he got
volume. Innings pitch.
Innings, man. Innings. The volume. He's a horse. Yeah.
Right. The innings, the volume.
Ratios, too. Ratios.
They were okay. Right. Good ERA. But the primary thing that he gave you was the volume. And his first year back from surgery, I don't think they're going to, like, baby him like he's going to go. I think he'll go more than McClanahan. But we're not getting near that same level of volume, I don't think, this season in his first year back. Now, next year, yeah, I'll probably be in on Sandy, but not the first year coming off of injury when the main reason we wanted him was because he can go those 200 innings. So that's Sandy. I'm out. And then McClanahan, this is his second Tommy John surgery. He's going around pick 120. There's a few things at play here. The ballpark shift for the Rays is going to be significant, I think. I mean, you're moving to Yankee Stadium dimensions. It's going to be played in the
point.
Heat of Florida, you know? So automatically off the bat, it's a big shift in environment. And then there's some talk that they're going to be playing a lot of the second half games on the road because of the heat in Florida. Like, it's just going to be kind of a messy situation. I don't think they're going to let him go more than 130 innings. And second Tommy John, those results are mixed, right? If you look at the history of those pitchers coming off of that, you don't really know what you're getting. So I don't think there's enough of a discount on him for me to buy him this year.
You know what we could do is just screw both these guys, and I'm going to throw Govier and Britton out of their seats right here. Just draft Yuri Perez, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, draft Royce Lewis while you're at it.
Right.
Robbie's here. Says, more Venezuelan country talk, please. Let the lip champ fly, Britton.
That's right.
There you go.
Got it right here, my friends. Trader Joe's strawberry guava. Does anyone know what guava is? I don't. But my lips are fresh and delicious. Can I talk about one player I want to ask,
go ahead, Brittany,
ask you guys about? Jazz Chisholm. Smooth jazz.
No!
Jazz on a sweet summer day. Shout out Steve Winwood. Here's his ADP is 24. He's going ahead of Trey Turner. Austin Riley, like these established studs. And of course I never draft a Jazz. I don't know why. I think it's because of the injuries or something. Oh, by the way, I also won that bet. The Mike Govia, y'all picked Royce Lewis, sucker.
Yep. Can't do
y'all pick road favorites too, suckers. But anyway, so Jazz Chisholm for the Yankees. Man, he had a great year last year. So I want to ask you guys in a draft and hold league, Jazz Chisholm. I mean, are you drafting him ahead of Churio? Are you drafting him ahead of Jackson Merrill? I mean, power, speed, that's what happened last year. And if you looked at the ATC projections that just came out, it's like 27-39. I mean, we're like 30-40 projections for Jazz. I couldn't believe it. And I assume that's my ignorance. Torres, Yankee man, what do you think? Is this for real? Is he going to bat second for the Yankees? What the hell is going on here?
It's definitely possible. It's possible that he could pick up second base eligibility during the season. I don't know what they're doing there as far as if they're going to bring in a third baseman.
But, it won't be John Birdie.
No more John Birdie.
He's with the Cubs, baby. Watch out, Max Shaw.
That's what I'm saying.
And Greg Bird? We joke, but like, yeah, you probably should. The fact that the Cubs they signed Birdie, they're looking at Bregman, I'd be a little hesitant to take Matt Shaw at his inflated price right now. But getting back to Jazz, so I think I have actually set the min all draft champion season on Jazz. I took him at pick 18 in one of my draft and hold leagues. And I got a lot of pushback for that because I knew people would. So I kind of put it out on Twitter and disc, you know, like I wanted to get people all riled up. It's always, that's fun. But listen, man, Jazz, I understand the health concerns. And I think, like, if you're doing one draft, do I think it makes sense to take Jazz in the second round in that draft? Probably not, because there is bust risk there because of the past injury issues. But I'm doing, personally, I'm doing like 10 drafts. So that's my Jazz team where I took him at pick 18. And the thing with Jazz is when he came to New York, he ran absolutely wild, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he had one of the highest stolen base attempt rates in the league, was basically on a 40 to 50 steal pace. And his ATC projections are pretty close to 40 steals. So what makes him so different than Corbin Carroll going in the middle of the first round? Right?
Nothing.
Because we're looking at Corbin Carroll as, all right, probably projecting him for 40 stolen bases, upside for 50 plus. I think Jazz has that. Jazz also is in the best context of his career, right? Playing for the Yankees, playing in Yankee Stadium. I think his approach, like he can pull the ball in the air. I think it's going to be perfect for that stadium. I think 25 to 30 home runs, as ATC is saying, is squarely in the range of outcomes. So if you're telling me 25 to 30 home runs, 40 to 50 stolen bases, yeah, he's not going to hit 300, but I mean, you saw gains in his contact percentage.
That's first round production. Yeah.
That's first round production, right? Even if he hits 260, 250, 260, if you're giving me that category juice, that's a first round player. So to me, I think Jazz, and throw in third base and outfield and potentially second base eligibility. I mean, that's like to have those three is like a cheat code. So I'm all about Jazz in the second round.
Okay, that's interesting.
After this season, you'll be sent back to the minors.
Give me Govia. You don't sound convinced. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where you're skeptical.
Yeah, I've just never been a Jazz fan. But, you know, I'll say right now I'm incomplete on this day, January 24th. I'll give it to you. I'll take a look. I'll dive under the hood, and I'll get back to you on this one. I don't want to make any assumptions or lie about anything or exaggerate, because I just don't believe he could be healthy. But belief has nothing to do with it. It's about, can he get the reps? Yes, he can. And can his legs and his arms and his core and everything stay together and work properly so that Jazz Chisholm could be all that he could be? Your logic is sound. Your logic is real sound. There's no doubt about that, Chris. I agree 100% on what you're saying in terms of the Corbin comparison. Somebody also in the chat said PCA is going to be this year's Corbin Carroll, which was a fun thing. I think Uncle Ted threw that out there. But I don't really have a beef with it, but my bias is in the way right now, and I'm admitting that freely.
Yeah, I'll agree on that take too. He probably has he's out of the first two rounds, he probably has the highest risk, highest reward type player out of anybody. Because again, I'm looking at it more so of the injury. Yeah, as Brian is saying as well here. I'm looking at it more so the fact of what Govier is saying as well. I think you have sound logic as well, Torres. He's definitely got the upside to provide those type numbers. And again, if he's giving me 25, 30 home runs and he's hitting in front of a guy like Aaron Judge, and if he's sitting second in that lineup, watch out. But I'd be interested to know this too. Since he's come up, how many seasons has he not been on? Like, I think he's been on the injured list almost every year, and that's something that I'm not willing to bank a second round pick on with that. So that's the only thing that scares me a little bit with his ADP and where it sits currently right now. I'm going to counter you back here, Torres, with the pick when you made him at, I think you said 15th overall. Do you have any concerns with the injury part of it? Like, is that something that you're scared of and noting that you spent that high of a pick on?
I do. I forget exactly who I took later, but I kind of had
Brett Gardner.
And it wasn't Brett Gardner. But yeah, I tried to kind of plan around that. And I think that's important too. Like, with injury risk, we've got to think, okay, like, we can't just completely avoid injury risk. Like, if we're so scared of that all the time, I think we're going to miss a lot of opportunities too.
Sure.
So I think being able to say, like, to plan, like, okay, I took Jazz as my third baseman. Maybe I should, you know, think about how I'm going to back him up, right? Maybe get take a backup third baseman earlier, or take Oswaldo Cabrera, or, you know, like something like that, that's going to kind of hedge, you know, for that risk. So, yeah. And like I said, too, I'm drafting more volume. So in that situation, I'm more comfortable taking one team that I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to make this my Jazz team and let it ride. You know, because I do think the reward is certainly worth the risk.
How about this for a Jazz team? Like in a main event, which is what, $1,200, you just go, all right, forget it. I'm all in. All right, first round pick, Fernando Tatis Jr., second round Jazz, third round Acuna, fourth round Jacob DeGrom, and you're just like, okay, let's go. Yeah. I'm either going to win earn whatever.
That's it. As I would say, can I use vulgarity or a graphic image here? Is that okay?
Let me double check. Hang on. Wait.
Father Jack.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So here's what I would say. When I was in college, we used to have this saying that we would use, where you would do something like what Britton just said, and we would say, "That's really throwing your dick on the table. That's really just throwing it out there and saying, hey, it's for everyone to see. You, if you do that and you win, my God, that would be incredible. I love it, Britton."
But Britton, I will say, I've seen people take that approach. Like they will say, you know what? I'm just going to take all the risky guys. I want them all on one team.
Right.
That's the stupidest shit.
It never
you
works.
Should never, like, I never understand. Like if you're going to take, if you're going to take a risky guy like Jazz, then maybe you're going to take your next
Mookie Betts in the first round.
Be more stable.
Yeah.
You know. So I think the idea, I'm just going to go all in on risk, that's really dumb. You should have balance throughout your draft.
Some people just want to see the world burn, man. It's not about win or losing.
Yeah, I mean, some people just have money.
Just like, I'm putting the D on the table.
You're supposed to do your Michael Caine there, man.
Oh,
Master Wes. I can't do a good Michael Caine.
One of the things that's interesting about Jazz, though, I would say, just to add in 2 cents here, is that I'm all in on him, too. And I think one of the things you got to kind of look at is this is a young guy. He's only 27. He's been around a long time. But every year that he's played up until last year, he was on really bad teams. And when he would get hurt, there was no pressure to rush him back and do any of that kind of stuff. And so having seen him play when he was 19 years old in single A here, I can tell you that they always have had kid gloves on him about the injury stuff and whatever. I'm all in on him this year. I think this is a guy that is a 25 home run, 40 stolen base, hitting in a stacked lineup, a guy who's going to be motivated and really engaged to play. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in old Detroit. You must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5-star rating. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to jump in with this, guys. Jim Turner wants to know, I pick fourth. Who is the best choice at 4 overall in 2025 as of this date? Anybody can go first here if you're feeling froggy. Jump.
Number Juan's 4 overall.
Well, that's a great question.
Huh?
I would say Ellie De La Cruz. You figure Ohtani, Witt are going 1-2, and then probably Aaron Judge 3. Yeah. So obviously, those are great players. So what would y'all do? I would probably go Ellie De La Cruz. You know, you get the like stolen base leader plus, you know, obviously home runs too. But
great job.
What do y'all think?
Soto for me. And it's close, though, Britton, between those guys, especially if any type of OBP formats with Soto. But
in a DC, would you consider Skubal or Skeens? Because obviously neither one of those are making it anywhere close to you, you know, coming back. But also in that mix is Jose Ramirez, Gunnar Henderson, Kyle Tucker. Like, that's not all that great. Once you get through that top four, Witt, Ohtani, Rotani, Witt, Judge, De La Cruz – I don't know. That's a great question.
You really believe that, don't you?
I'd probably go Jose Ramirez, to be honest, just because of how deep shortstop is.
Yeah.
And third base starts to die off. And if you can get steals out of your third baseman, that's a, to me, that's a great way to start.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yep. Anybody else?
What about Kyle
Jose Ramirez for me, for sure. In that situation, number four. Yeah. I'm not a big boy, this is going to come out wrong. I'm going to get attacked for it. That's fine. I'm not a big Ellie De La Cruz guy. I just don't – I'm not sure that he can hit. I know that people will find that crazy, but I don't know. I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I think he's the most dangerous in the first round, no doubt.
Yeah.
Other than maybe Tatis or Julio Rodriguez, I don't think is in the first round anymore. I think he's dropped, but yeah, Ellie De La Cruz, definitely. That's tough taking him top four when you can get Jose Ramirez, who is the king of, you know, hustle, steadfast, going to get his numbers, team captain, doesn't quit, you know, on a good team. But, you know, Gunnar Henderson's in the mix too. So,
Gunnar!
Real quick to add to Ellie and Mike, I'm with you on that a little bit. The thing that scares me the most about Ellie is his 31 strikeout, his K percentage. 31% clip is risky to take in the fourth, as number four overall. But at the same time, too, like Britton alluded to, he's probably a guy that's going to be first in steals and probably win you your steals category. Literally could steal all bases. But yeah, that K percentage has me a tad worried, and not to mention too, his whiff percentage is 33.4. So you might be onto something there.
Yikes.
Yeah, you could hit 230, right? And then if you start your build with that guy, then you have to maybe take Arise or somebody later, right? To augment your batting average, because otherwise you're starting off with, yeah, you got home runs and RBIs and steals, whatever, but you're starting with a 230 batting average.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Mike, were you out?
No.
I'm asking this honest. I'm not trying to troll you here. Were you in or out on Ellie last year?
Out.
You were out.
Okay. I was out.
I'm always out.
So even though he did put up, like, he, you know, put up a top five roto season, you know, put aside all the.
But you're not gonna troll me.
No, well, I'm having a nice conversation with you. Okay, I'm not trolling you.
But he's not trolling me, folks.
No, nope. not trolling. I would never.
Why would
troll
you think
you.
That?
Oh, you would never you troll me. Know. Okay. But every day of my life since we've been friends, you've told me.
Oh, that's why I knew you'd handle it well.
Sorry, I'm dying. It's going to be funny.
So you're still out. Even though you were out last year, he did what he did, you still are unmoved. You think it's a fluke? Like, what?
I don't know.
How do you reconcile that?
I guess I really don't. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know that the power, you know, he had 25 home runs last year, right? I just don't know that he is a home run type of hitter. I think he had 13 and 23. The steals are real, obviously, but, you know, he had 259 last year. And my concern is that, you know, the year before he had about 235 or somewhere in there. So what's the truth of what he's bringing there? So I think that it's a very high risk, high reward pick for me. I think he could steal a ton of bases, or, you know, they got a new manager there with Terry Francona. Not exactly sure how that's going to play out. 67 is a really high number. If that number goes back down to 35 and he hits 15 home runs, is that a first round guy? I would say no. That's me, though.
I just think that's so unlikely given the quality of contact that he has. I mean, I understand the concerns about the K rate, and I think we all have in our mind, like, 30% is, you know, you want to stay away from that, right?
That's like Rougned Odor K rate.
Right. But Rougned Odor didn't hit the ball 120 miles an hour. And I think that's where, like, and I'm trying to do this myself because I get hung up on that sometimes. Like, I think we need to shift our perception of that with these guys that are just freaks, like Ellie De La Cruz, O'Neill Cruz. Like, these guys are just athletic monsters. Fernando Tatis, I remember, was another guy. This was how I learned this, because I was out on Tatis for those first couple years. I'm like, he's too much swing and miss in his game. And, you know, I don't like the plate approach. With these guys that just can mash the ball consistently, like, it doesn't really, like, those, that 30% number doesn't hold the same weight as it does for Rougned Odor or some other guy who, you know, has a max EV of 110. Like, that guy's out of the league. Whereas if you're hitting the ball 120, like, you're just, you're going to get enough hits because you're hitting the ball so hard.
I think it's a really valid. I totally agree with you, Chris. I mean, I think the problem that I have with it is when I look at it, there's just a range of outcomes there that I don't feel like I'm shooting the middle ground there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's a 300 hitter. I don't think that's going to happen. Not that I need him to be, but the concern that I have is, like, you know, his expected batting average last year was 240. He hit 260. So, like, you're right. The quality of contact is really high. The bat speed is really high. The hard hit percentage is really high. Obviously, he's a freak running and all these other things. But, man, oh, man, like, to me, like, if you're going to do that, you're going to get stats filling the one spot of it. But then you have to also then think about what you're also bringing to the table there with looking at batting average and trying to figure that out. To me, when I'm taking a first-round pick, and this is probably why I don't play in super high stakes leagues or win them when I play them, is I don't want risk there, and I feel like he's just too risky for me in that regard. I'd rather take a guy like Gunner, or I'd rather take, you know, somebody like Jose Ramirez. I know exactly what I'm getting. At least I think I like to think that I know exactly what I'm getting.
I wonder if they start to throw differently at him too, because, like, I'm looking here, 2023 he saw fastballs 45.9% of the time. Last year, it went up to 53% of the time, and he mashed last year. He hit 302 against them, but he still struggles against breaking balls and off-speed pitches to the point where it's borderline, like, 200. So maybe if they start to attack him a little differently next year, do you think maybe we might see a little drop in performance there? I don't know. I don't know if
Ellie needs help, though. Ellie needs help from his lineup. The Reds sucked last year. The Reds were such a bummer offensively. The lineup screwed me. I was really excited about them coming off 2023 from a fantasy perspective. And the Reds pretty much were a bummer. I mean, if he can get a little help too, maybe that'll lead to a little bit more walks if he can learn to be a bit more patient, which I also believe is part of the ascension of growth. Maybe it won't happen on the timeline I see it for Ellie, that he'll grow next year, as I expect an elite prospect like him to grow. Maybe it'll happen in 2 years. But I'm with Torres all the way. I'm all in on Ellie. I don't have any doubts about him. I watch him play, too. I'm like, this guy's electric, man. I know he could struggle a bit here, but there's enough on the table here at his age, with his talent. You put it all together, I love it. And with Tito there now, if I trust Tito Francona implicitly, I think that'll only help things. I don't see how it'll hurt things unless he decides to be a real prick to him for some reason. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Gove, I don't know if you were on the record for it, but did you list who you were taking at four? Like, after Judge and Witt and Ohtani go off the board, are you comfortable taking Ellie at four?
Because
that's where he's going right now on his ADP.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that necessarily, but I'd still take him in the first round, I think, if I was in the back end of the first, no doubt.
Yeah.
Last year, I took him in the second round, and I was very happy with it. So
I hear what both you guys are saying. I'm jumping in Mike's boat. If I'm drafting at four, I'd rather have a couple other guys that.
I don't want Ramirez though, Mike. Risk. Everyone's saying Ramirez. I don't like taking guys after a huge, huge year. I just don't. It's kind of a rule I've adopted here. He could still be very good, but I don't know.
Consistently for a while now, though. Jose Ramirez is rock solid every year. I mean, I don't know if he's
not okay. He's rock solid. Yeah, he's rock solid,
but he's a first round talent, wouldn't you say?
He is, but he's not going to do what he did last year. That's all. Okay. So that he's not going to have a top five season this year. I'm going to lock it in right now, actually.
But it's going to be within 10% of what he did last year. I mean, that's the kind of player he is. Like, he's not a, you know, get your contract and take her easy. Like, he's Mr. Hustle, Jose Ramirez for the Guardians. He's just a different type of dude. And I also have to register. I hate to break this up for a second, but you said the Cincinnati Reds suck. Excuse me, sir. TJ Friedl is on that team.
I love all of them.
Lead off.
I love them all, Brittany. I love the Reds. I'm bitter.
Matt McClain is on that team.
Healthy. I love Matt McClain.
Your boy.
Out in the AFL, getting at bats, ready for Matt McClain to come back into it. Tyler Stevenson. Skyline chili, my friend. So delicious.
Oh, I heard you talk about Skyline the other day. I lived in Cincinnati for a year. I worked at Channel 5, WLWT, and I went to Skyline Chili, and I was like, there's too much nutmeg or cinnamon in it or some shit. Too much. I'm a Steak and Shake guy. Steak and Shake is all the way. That's another Cincinnati three-way that I would happily
eat. Expand your horizons, man. The world isn't peanut butter and jelly. You got to get out there and get a little nutmeg. Get a little
cinnamon on your I got chili. High on nutmeg at college, and I think it fucked me up. That's what it is, honestly. One night, they told us that if you did a bunch of nutmeg, and this is on the internet in 1998, they said if you do a bunch of nutmeg, you'll get high. So we tried it, and all we did was sleep for 48 hours. It's pretty
good. It doesn't really work.
Nutmeg isn't what you need right there. You need to go over to the Walgreens and get a cup of Robitussin and slug those suckers and wake up a week later too. And not worry about it. Not really.
Yeah. Drink some lean.
We
make
can do
some
a whole
scissor.
Podcast about that one.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a whole, I got a story. I'm not going to tell that story here, but I would love to. Okay, so that's the LA Talk. People are loving it in live chat. I did want to ask this question because this was a good question from Breyer. I can't say exactly what his name is, but he asked twice about Reagan's. And his first question was, in a two-player keeper league, who do I keep between Paul Skeens, McClanahan, Reagan's, and Bryce Harperized him?
Yeah.
Anybody have a clear answer here between Skeens, McClanahan, Reagan's, and Harper? Two players to keep.
Well, we can all say Skeens number one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Skeens is there.
Yeah. And I would say Reagan's in a keeper league.
I'd go Harper.
I'm going Harper
Skeens.
As well. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Harper.
I think if you lock down a solid arm in Skeens there and then you get a solid bat there in Harper. But also not outlandish to go pitcher there, but interested to hear what everybody else thinks. I'm going Skeens Harper here.
Yep. Agreed.
I'm going Skeens Reagan's. Give me that Cole Reagan's strikeout potential. Bobby Witt, Sal Perez. Kansas City's actually going to the playoffs and winning games. Yeah, I'll take their ace. It's a good place to pitch. Give me those two. Finding pitching elite pitchers is a lot harder than, you know, look, no offense to Bryce Harper, but he's like 33, 32, something like that. Not old, 47. But, you know, I can go find a first baseman, you know, that can just equal that production. But finding Nicole Reagan's isn't that easy. In a keeper league,
you just take Mike Toglia later in the draft. There,
you keep putting that G, Mike. You know it drives me crazy.
Holy Lord.
The G is silent, my friend. Talia.
Talia.
There
sorry.
You go. Yuri Perez. You're driving me nuts tonight. What's wrong?
You're ready. Oh, bring good it up. Stuff here.
Yuri
stuff.
Perez and Mike Toglia. I know what you're doing. Are we married? What's going on here?
What's the deal? I haven't mentioned this enough, but make sure you guys check out the Fantasy Baseball Beat. This is the podcast featuring these three fine gents here. Chris Torres, Mike Carter, Davey Funnel. Latest episode, Talking Royals with Jalen Thompson and Injury Risk with everybody's favorite, Dave McDonald, Dr. D. That sounds like it was a real hoot, guys.
It was, yeah. Anybody who's listening or in the live stream here, encourage you to go check out our show. I think if you like this show, I think you'll like ours. So what we do, we interview local beat writers for MLB teams, and we're asking them questions through kind of like a fantasy-focused lens. We also do our own analysis, and I think the combination of the three of us is a pretty well-rounded group. Mike is our bullpens guy. He writes about bullpens for Fantrax. He also writes over at RotoBaller. As you've heard, Dave is tracking injuries all the time on his Twitter account and also writes about that as well at Fantrax. So as for me, I'm just, you know, I'm just a bum who plays a lot of high stakes fantasy. So, but I've been successful. So I think, you know, you can at least take some of what I play and find it helpful. So we also do some kind of like non-baseball stuff during our show. We do our mental health minute at the end of each show where we talk about things that we're doing to maintain our own physical or mental wellness. We are part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, so you could find us on their feed.
Oh.
And we also, as Mike showed on the screen here, we also have our own podcast feed. So if you just put in Fantasy Baseball Beat, wherever you get your podcasts, we'll show up. And lastly, follow us on X at Fantasy B Beat. We have our account page there. So check us out.
Wait a minute. Nobody's rated the show on here. This has to change ASAP. Are you kidding?
Nah, man. We got rated. Well, are you looking Spotify or Apple?
This is on Apple. Is this a lie? If it's a lie, I don't.
It's a lie.
Rate this show right now. I'm going to rate the show. I'll do it right after. I'll do it right for the show. That's stupid. That's stupid.
No, last time I saw, we had like 15, so it should be.
Oh, okay, good.
I'll rate it when I get Torres's sleeper picks.
Hey, Dave says he's got a lot of cat in the private chat. I'm not hearing the cat. You're good, Dave. Don't worry. Not hearing your cat at all. I have not heard the sounds of any cats. Let's cover a little bit more, then we'll hit the high road here with the Fantasy Beat guys. Make sure your Fantasy Baseball Beat is the show. Check it out. 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 You talked about closers. I think we should jump in and ask Mr. Doctor, my old pal Mike. Mr. Doctor, closers. What do we need to know in 2025? What matters? You can take it any direction you want. I mean, you're filled to the gills with shit in your head about closers, so I know you can talk about it in any which way you need to.
Well, it's a really interesting thing to talk about because it's a statistic that we all need for our teams, and how we go about getting the guys that we really need is dependent upon league and the context that you're in. I really think that there are fewer sure things this year, and as my good friend Rick Graham at Pitcherless says, there's no such thing as a sure thing when it comes to a relief pitcher anymore. What I see a lot of people doing and what I'm kind of advising people to do is if you're in a high stakes league, obviously I think you're looking fourth, fifth round for that first closer and then doing some specs later. You obviously need fewer saves than what you did before to be able to be competitive. You don't need to win the category. You probably got to get somewhere around 70 saves to be competitive in a league like that. But if you're in a home league and you're in a 12 team league, I think it's definitely something you can wait on a little bit, but you don't want to go too far down the line and have a huge risk with what you're looking for in your first closer. So first closer, I'm looking for somebody that I think is going to get 30 plus saves. And that's going to be in just about every league that I'm playing in. I'm going to be looking for that guy first. So I'm looking for somebody that has done it before. I'm looking for somebody that I think has a real clear shot at doing it. So, you know, you're looking at the Devin Williams and Josh Haders of the world, the Mason Millers, who I'm very high on this year. I think he's going to have another great season. And then you have some injury risk. You know, you got guys like Ryan Helsley. You got Felix Bautista. It's hard to know exactly what those guys are going to do and how that's all going to work out. And I think, you know, you find yourself in a situation where it takes a lot to be able to kind of figure out what you want to do there with that position. I think you want to be able to make sure you have a top guy, five or six guys that are there. And then I think you really want to make sure that you get somebody from that second or third tier and then speculate late. You don't want to be shopping for saves, I think, this year on the waiver wire. I don't think that you're going to find them. I think these guys are all going to be snatched up pretty quickly in most drafts.
What do you think of this? Uncle Ted says, take shots on closers. Don't spend ADP value on them. Mike, that's for you directly.
No, I do like Uncle Ted was on when I was talking about the White Sox with Bubba before. Burrow is a really good speculation there. I'm not sure how I feel about Jacob Webb becoming a closer. I just don't know that that's necessarily what's going to happen down there. Usetta is a really interesting guy in Tampa, but Tampa's got about three or four guys that can kind of lay claim to that. Holton, I think, is going to be a guy that the Tigers are going to use in a variety of different roles, and I'm not sure that he's a closer. But Ted brings up a really good point, which is that you know, these are guys that are highly skilled. They're going to have use for you in any fantasy league that you're in. I just am not sure that those guys are all going to get saves.
I'd rather not spend fab actually instead of
right.
I'd rather not spend fab.
Why? It's not fun.
Oh, it's just It's nonstop week after week.
You don't want to try to pick up Tyler Kinley, Chad Green, I don't know, some other
asshole?
You want
to draft Calvin Fauché from Miami?
Yeah, like, Fauché! I do not. The Dodgers closer of the week, whether it's Tanner Scott or Michael Kopech or whoever.
But see, that's the problem, right, is that when you look at a team like the Dodgers and you draft early, you think it's going to be Kopech, and now they've got four guys that can get saves. It's just so hard to know exactly how this is going to play out, guys.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear your take on this one too, Mike. I get you with your core three guys, like your Class A's, your Haters, you know, your Devin Williams, but the guys that we found on the waiver wire last year from closers, and I think Ted brought it up in the live chat as well. I'm trying to think where I saw it at. Because we found a lot of guys. Do I draft
take shots on closers or don't draft closers? Is this the one?
No, because there was one he was talking about, like Martinez.
Justin Martinez.
Yeah, like a bunch of guys.
He's talking a lot. It's hard to keep track of.
I know, right? There's a lot of guys that were in there. Yeah, Porter Hodge. There's a lot of guys that came up with, and if you don't get your hands on one of those top three guys, Mike, how are you approaching closers after that? So let's just say you're in the back end of that fourth round and all those three closers go. Are you trying to get your hands on the next best guy, or are you waiting later? There it is right here. Thanks for bringing that up. Are you waiting on closers later now that you don't have your top three guys?
In that situation, probably, yeah. But I think in most of the leagues that I'm in, especially the ones where I'm playing with, you know, really, really good players, I'm probably going to make sure that I land one of those top six or seven guys and build off of that. But to your point, I think that there are a lot of really good specs that you could kind of look at too. Mm-hmm. A guy like Seth Halverson in Colorado is a guy that could really be up and coming. I love Lucas Ursig in Kansas City. I think he's fantastic. 30 saves. He's got the stuff to be able to do that. A four pitch mix. It's just kind of insane. The problem that you run across is that so many of these teams do such weird things with relief pitchers, right? Like you get a guy like Andrés Muñoz, who is a lights out type of closer, but might only get 20 saves. You know what I mean? Like the way that Seattle has used the bullpen in the past. Now, obviously, they're under new management, whatever. But you know, a guy like Kenley Jansen is going to get an opportunity somewhere. He's probably going to get 25 saves. Leclerc with the A's, sure, that's great, but Mason Miller's the closer. I mean, Leclerc is probably going to pitch, is going to use a multiple inning type of stint there. I think that they'll use Miller as a closer still. They also have another guy there named Michael Ohtañez, who I think is going to be a fantastic, buy low candidate this year in Oakland. But it's just hard to say, right? Like, we know that every team's going to probably get 25, even if you're the White Sox. They're going to get 25 saves. Some teams are going to get 40, but it's always kind of an unknown as to who's going to get those, you know? Like, unless you're Devin Williams or Hader or, you know, a guy like Bautista, you know, we don't know who's going to get the majority of the saves. The reality of this situation.
Edward Asley signed with the Mets today. You excited?
Oh, nice.
The
thing about it is that we know that about, you know, most of the closers that are starting the season with the role are only going to get about 50% of the total saves. So, you got to speculate somewhere. I think those last 10 rounds of drafts are great places to speculate on guys that you think might get an opportunity to close. You know, Camilo Duval is a guy that nobody's drafting right now, but I really think that he's going to resurrect before it's too long. I really like Walker there, but I don't think he's the closer. I don't know what else to say about it.
Can I ask a quick question, Mike?
The Washington Nationals. Like. Yes.
You've got CJ. You've got Dylan Cruz on the come up. Luis Garcia Jr., who had a great year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Their closer, okay, Jorge Lopez, Derek Law, or Jose A. Ferreira. One of those guys is getting 20 saves at least.
I would like to think that they haven't signed their closer yet based on those names. I mean, obviously, Jorge Lopez is the one that's got the most experience of that group. But you'd really like to look at that and say, geez, I'm not sure that their closer's on that roster yet. Or you know, the other thing that you could look at here, too, is that right now they have a six-man rotation. A guy like Michael Soroka, who was really, really good in relief for the White Sox last year, could end up being a really dark horse candidate for saves there. But doesn't it make sense that they would sign somebody like Kenley Jansen? Makes a lot of – or, you know, somebody of that ilk, you know.
I heard John Gray's closing in Texas now.
I was just getting ready to say that, Gove. He said that he'd be open to closing, which is interesting to me as well. I've always loved John Gray, even when he was with Colorado. Don't ask me why. I can never quit him. But that's an interesting thing.
But you would, Pamela Red.
good plug. But Mike, interested to hear your thoughts on this one too. John Gray, any interest him potentially being the closer in Texas?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before in certain arenas. I mean, he's really a two-pitch pitcher. He's a four-seam fastball and a slider guy. And I think in a situation like that where he could really max out the velo on his fastball, he's 33 years old. It makes a lot of sense to look at him in that role. I think he obviously could be a closer candidate there in Texas if they had allowed him to be.
This year's Michael Kopech. That. He's their third starter. It's like him, Molly, and Bradford. I guarantee you the people in Texas are like, Gray, shut your mouth. You're not in the bullpen. We're paying you starter money. I'm sure you want to pitch 60 innings this year and be done with it. But, hey, look, buddy, we've got other plans. You know what I mean? Look at our offense. Hey, Adelise, come over here. John Gray needs a pep talk getting on the mound. Adelise, can you talk to him? Yes, sir.
But, you know, the thing is, like, with Texas, though, like, Kumar Rocker's coming, right? Like, I mean, they got guys that could come in and fill some of those starting roles. Jack Leiter, potentially. It would make sense that Gray could go to the bullpen in that situation to me.
Torres, you want to talk? You haven't talked in a while.
I'm just over here researching John Gray. That's a...
but he's not trolling me, folks.
He's not trolling you. Never. No, I mean, I'm just trying to find the context of the John Gray quote. Like, was that something from the team? Was that
his people?
I just see here that he was open. He's open to closing, but is that an?
I know it's just
thing?
Bullshit. Yeah, it's bullshit.
I think it might be bullshit. Like, I don't want to get too carried bullshit. Away with John
that
Gray.
That is bullshit.
Could you see that in a situation, noting that they have some of these guys coming up, like if DeGrom stays healthy, Bradford, Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter, just speculatively speaking here, do you think it makes sense that John Gray would slot into a closer role there, especially given his injury history as well, and Mike already alluded to the two-pitch mix, really, do you think that stuff translates over into a, maybe not even a closer role, but a late inning guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I don't know... So I took Chris Martin the other day in a draft. I feel like Martin would have a leg up on John Gray. Like he's, you know.
Oh, sure.
Like they have guys that have it that are good quality relievers. You know, they went and traded for Robert Garcia from the Nationals. They gave up a good piece for him.
They signed Chris Martin,
who I didn't realize how good Chris Martin has been over the past 2 years, but his numbers are pretty lights out. Hasn't been a closer recently, but. I mean, you've got two guys there that I would have a hard time believing that John Gray is just going to step in and leapfrog both of them with no closing experience. Is it possible at some point? I wouldn't be floored by it, but it's not a bet that I'd be willing to make given the information we have now.
Just to be clear for the record, is Sabores going to be out for all 25? Josh Sabores? Does anyone know that?
No, he's due to come back, but I don't think that they have a great timeline of when that exactly is going to be.
I like him. He's on the injured list right now, but I like him. So I'm just curious about that. A name just to keep in mind in the Texas backfield. Yeah, that's right. We're talking football. All right. Who you guys got Sunday? No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. Okay, we covered that part. Anything else here? As we come to a close here, any final thoughts on fantasy baseball? Incredible amounts of effort has been made by the Fantasy Baseball Beat Boys here. Make sure you guys follow the show. Check it out. It's such a great show. Follow these guys everywhere. I guess Twitter is still allowed. I don't know. I'm kind of confused at where we are in 2025, but we're just simple people trying to get by every day. We don't want to hurt anybody on the show. We're all good people. before we kind of close that out, though, I did want to mention the Jeremiah Estrada hype, which Uncle Ted wanted to say. We all remember it last year. He was incredible. His K rates were stupid, and he was striking people out like crazy. But closer-wise, Mike, 2025, Estrada the closer?
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that could get into that role, depending on what happens with Suarez. I mean, I think Suarez is obviously a trade candidate in San Diego from what they've been saying. Suarez had a little bit of luck last year with some of the stuff that he was doing, although he is really, really good at the job. If they do move him, I think Estrada and Jason Adam are probably the two top guys there to look at. I would lean Estrada just because he's got the better stuff than Adam, but Adam is really, really good in that seventh and eighth inning role, and they probably just leave him there.
Okay. Final thoughts, gents. Go ahead. Make your final thoughts here, then we're getting the hell out.
I got a couple final thoughts. Dave, you are called the Thief of Joy by a fellow podcaster. I did not know that. Congratulations. Mike Carter, I'm pretty sure you think I'm an alcoholic. That's fine, too.
Britton, who's sitting right next to you in Arizona, man? Who's sitting right next to you every time? It's me, baby. It's me.
Christopher Torres, what's up? The man, I can't wait to see how I beat you at the Arizona Fall League draft. It's going to be so much fun.
It ain't happening, bro.
It ain't happening. It ain't happening. With Shohei Ohtani, we'll see. All right, of course, Mike V, bringing up Yuri Perez, like I've forgotten about that. That happened 3 years ago. It was one night, Mike V, one night, and you bring it up all the time.
Oh, boy.
Michael Govier, obviously, thank you for setting the live stream up. Shout out. Gentlemen, a pleasure. I love you guys. It's been great.
Absolutely. Britton is like he's our Springer final thoughts now. That's what he's going to be doing all season long.
Oh, dude, I wish I had that Jerry Springer show. I'd be like, who's the daddy? And I'd be in my dressing room like, this is such a BS nightmare. I don't care. How much money am I making today? Like, you know, that's all you can hang on to at that point.
The live chatters crushed it. It was awesome. You guys were lively. This is going to be our best season ever for the YouTube. Please subscribe to the YouTube. We're trying to get to 1,000 subs this season. This is the year. This is the year. I'm just going to keep saying it until it finally happens. Make it happen here. We're at almost 900. Brian K. Rodgman, he's been here since we first started this YouTube 4 or 5 years ago. So, Brian, great to see you, man. It's been a while. So glad you're here. And follow all the guys. Mike Carter, Christopher Torres, Davey Funnel, these guys rule. Mike Virginia, Michael Govier, Britton Allen. Guys, thanks for being on the show with us. It's been a ton of fun. Live chatters, you rule. This is the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
Utah, give me two.
Bye-bye.
All right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.